Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segre, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast, and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go!
It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What a good be, hoping this is what it should be. This is your boy N.O.R.E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And this is Drink Champs, motherfucking yeah. Happy Hour. Make some noise!
Yeah. It's Drink Champs 2-year anniversary.
Make some noise!
That's a beautiful thing.
So I bought some expensive red wine, but we're going to get into some great whiskey talk. But right now, we have a person who curates hip-hop. We have a person who comes in and gives lifestyle to the brand. A person who is, I don't want to say behind the scenes, I want to say on the scenes.
You know
what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of people that's behind the cameras and won't ever get on camera.
That's right.
He is not a person that won't ever get on camera. He's a person that's on the scenes. And I think you kind of invented that position. The guy's been around. He's worked for the likes of Jay-Z. He works for the likes of Dame Dash. He's worked for the likes of Puff Daddy. And he's the only person I've seen. It was like Bloods and Crips, Ciroc and Grey Goose at one time. And it was so crazy to see them go at it. But if you don't know who we're talking about right now, we got Kenny motherfucking Burns. Now, I heard you say, who gonna open a red wine?
Yeah.
That you're like a lifestyle coach.
Yeah, lifestyle specialist.
Lifestyle specialist,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Open that up.
I wanted Bo Jackson's, the orange and blue. All
right,
so I
thought
I go back
for
my guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. So look. So now, they speak about going far back. Cause I can't. I'm searching your history. So your history comes from Puff Daddy first.
Well, I'm from DC, and I met Puff first when I was.
And how were you?
Yeah, when he was at Howard, I was in high school.
Okay, had a jacket.
Yeah,
a nice
jacket. Because we was young hustlers, trying to figure it out. And Howard was the thing. You know what I'm saying? DC's a drive.
And DC is
its
own world, by the way.
It's its own own thing. Go go music, the whole thing. And I saw Puff one night outside of this club called the Opera, and I was like, I gotta meet dude. You know what I'm saying? He got to know who I am. This is I'm feeling like I'm young. I'm doing my thing in the street. And you know, he's like, come on in the club. You know what I'm saying? So we went in the club, 16 years old, seeing what they do, and the rest is kind of history. So we stayed in contact throughout, you know, the times.
And at
this
time, there's no Arista. There's no none of that.
Well, no, he's at Howard University. Like, I think he was working for
college.
Uptown, going back and forth.
He's
working.
Okay.
He looked like Jodeci.
Okay.
That's why I spoke to him. He looked like
he was dealing with Jodeci.
He had a white and black Pele jacket, some army pants with the Doc Martin boots. It's like, you look like the album cover. So he's like, oh, yeah, that's my group. I'm working with this legend Andre Herrera.
Oh, so he said that to you? That is my group?
Listen, his energy was radiant then. You know what I'm talking about? He knew where he was going.
Wait, so Puff was going to Howard while he was interning at
Was going back and forth.
That's incredible. I didn't realize it was like that.
He was going back and forth.
So let me ask you something. That's something that's crazy, because that means you got to see the growth. Have you ever thought that you would think that Puff would be like to extent that he's at now?
You know what, man? I never forget a conversation I had with Puff maybe 2 years, three years after that. It was in front of Bad Boy Studios. He had a studio on 44th in New York. It was me, Chuck
Daddy's
Bone,
house.
Lou Tucker. It was a couple of us out there. And he was talking. And he was almost like preaching, right? You know, he has that quality, right? He's almost preaching. He's like, I'm not here with you right now. We're like, fuck you mean? You standing right here? No, I'm hovering above
you. He's foreseeing his future.
Yeah, I mean, he was on some whole, and it was so outlandish and fucking crazy, but you believed him. You believed what he had to say. And if you think about what he made happen and the things he did, I mean, he was a hype man. Puff was a hype man. Puff was a hype man that turned into a rapper by default. You know what I'm talking about? But he always had the pivot. He was ready to pivot at any
minute.
Moment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to respect that hustle,
absolutely.
Man.
So how did you like make your position in hip hop? Because the thing about it is, so many people want to be the actual front guy in hip hop. They actually want to be the guys that that want to be in front of the camera. And it's one of the reasons why I love to interview people like yourself. Because like I said, you're not only behind the scenes, but you're on the scenes. Right. But a lot of people wouldn't... Oh, yeah, let me get a good glass.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah, it's fancy.
My bad.
So, let's continue. You got very fancy over here.
Yeah, let me get a good glass.
It's 2-year anniversary,
so
fancy.
What I'm trying to say is, like, you know, people like you, I like to promote your position a little bit more because you're a guy, like I said, you're not only behind the scenes, but you're on the scenes, and you curate so many different things. But how does a person even get to your position? Like, if there's a kid right now that's from D.C.
Right.
That's from New York or from Miami, and they don't want to be on camera.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
they got something to offer.
They got something to offer. So how do you curate your position?
So for me, man, it was about, you know, I never could rap. I never could sing. But I always, you know, I was a hustler. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, all rappers and singers wanted to be around hustlers. And they wanted to be a part of that life. And, you know, I'm talking about the women and things that came with it. Mm-hmm. And so my transition was identifying another hustle. You know, I was just having a conversation. I'm speaking in Baltimore on Saturday to, you know, how to beat the trap. The trap is thinking it's only one way to get it. The trap is what you're taught and not doing research on your own, trying to learn other things. So what I would tell a youngin trying to figure it out, trying to make it, is like, look, if you can hustle one thing, you can hustle another. And I really didn't know what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? It's, a lot of times people tell you God ordains your steps. He puts, you know, in your life what you're supposed to have. And that's true to you know, true to fact with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just kept moving forward. The one thing
that's
I never
stopped. That's the most important part.
And that's what people do. They get discouraged. They feel like, yo, like, this is crazy. Like, people just bugged out how I left all that money with Puff recently. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it ran its course. We launched Revolt together. You know what I mean? Deleon Tequila together. Apple Ciroc was my launch. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we did these things, and it's time to grow.
Step into another chapter.
But that's what life's about. You're not supposed to be still. You know what I'm saying? If I wanted to stay in the drug dealing mentality and be in the streets, that was a one-way, that was a one-way street. There wasn't no growth in that, but you come into the music business, you be like, oh, wait, I could tell you certain things about your demeanor and your style, this, that, and the third, and that's going to help you propel to the next level? Oh, okay, boom. And then you start realizing, okay, I have a more special gift than just, you know, people, like my ability to deal with people. I could actually market and brand,
right?
So, and I want to encourage people, man, you might not know what it is you're going to do, but if you stop, you will never know. Stopping means if you pause, if you take a deep breath, it's somebody else waiting to get in front of you in line. You got to just keep going, and it'll all be what it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? And so, big testament to all the people that, like, Puff, man, like, the one thing I always say about Puff and Jay, we got to hold them in high regard.
Yeah, we have to.
We have to keep them lifted, man. It wasn't no jobs like this for brothers like me before Puff. It's because of Puff I got to wiggle in the game the way
and
I did.
What year did you start working with Rockefeller.
I was the second black designer at Saks Fifth Avenue with Ryan Kenny. We did that deal through Rockefeller. But I got with I gave you the fucking movie you was in. We was just
paid
talking about that shit.
Paid the full.
So I was working with Dallas Austin, and
I thought that story was ill, by the way.
Yeah, and AZ, who worked with Dallas Austin. I was working with Dallas Austin, and AZ came in there with this kid named Shep from uptown.
AZ the rapper, AZ the street
hustler,
the gangster.
Okay.
So he comes.
That's what I wanted to clarify.
Yeah, so he comes in, you know what I'm saying? They got this whole story. I'm like, yo, this shit is crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want to do it. I'm telling Dallas Austin, he's in business with this dude, Kevin Zinger, big dude, you know what I'm saying? But they didn't know the story. They ain't really, he wasn't
so with the Dallas culture. Austin had Dallas, in
came,
on this?
It came to Dallas Austin's office first.
That's a crazy, like,
but they didn't know what to do with it.
Oh, you talking about AZ and them kids?
AZ, Dallas Austin. My man, Chef from Harlem, brought AZ to the office to see me, brought him to Dallas and Kevin Zinger, like, yo, I'm telling you, this is the story. The Alpo niggas involved, Rich Porter, this is the story. So then, and this is on 23rd Street, he had a company called Free World.
Can you go downstairs and get Casanova?
He had, you know, a company called Free World. So long story short, I was like, I know some dudes that could really fuck with it. And I took them to meet Dame and them, and the rest is history. And all I asked Dame for was a part in the motherfucking movie. And I see this nigga.
I think I got
I didn't see you. I holla at you. Me and my wife was just watching it Easter Sunday.
So, all right. What year was you working with Rockefeller?
I came in
was
right.
This the buggy eye Benz days?
Let's start way back now. I started working with Rockefeller. I set up their street teams with Ray Ray. Y'all remember Ray Ray? I set up their street teams nationally with Ray Ray.
I was one of the street team guys in Miami. Yeah. Who did we deal with?
Ray Ray.
Yeah, had to be Ray Ray.
Who was it?
Did you get paid Western Union?
No. So it's before.
Wait, this is before. That's how
I was Def Jam days. I was Def Jam.
Okay, well, this is, I'm talking about Rockefeller Records on John Street.
Payday. You're talking about not Payday.
Casanova downstairs.
What's the label they were on originally?
Priority. Priority right. Freeze.
Downstairs?
Yeah. Freeze. That's what I'm thinking of. Freeze.
So we paid Street Team through Western Union.
Right.
So, but it was a whole thing, man. Like, them was my guys. Clark Kent introduced me to Jay and Dane. I'm talking about 560 State Street, Black Lacquer Furniture, fucking, you know, Station Wagon, Honda Accord, Buggy Ibez, Lexus. Like, I'm them days.
Right.
And I was just a youngin' because Clark would take me on the road and I was the hype man when Clark DJ.
But did you ever see Jay and Dane separated?
Never.
Let's just keep it.
I left Rockefeller Records because of the split. Nobody knows that story. I mean, Dame was starting to do things that was not normal to me in our relationship. Yeah. And I told Dame, I said, first time you ever yell at me like you yell at the rest of these niggas, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. But all the shit in the separation, you know what I'm saying, started happening. I just didn't feel right because, I mean, you know what I'm saying, Jay is Boogie's godfather. Like, it was too much history that I saw, that I was a part of.
Right.
To like stay in a business that was dwindling anyway. The music business was fucking over when I left. Like,
but what I'm saying is, did you ever see it like it going this far?
Never.
Like even like, cause you know, as business partners, you know, you seen you and Puff, it's footage of y'all like going at it. Right. But then you know y'all rekindle y'all relationships. And
it
just seems like this relationship is just done though. Like,
Damon Jay?
Damon Jay, looking from the outside in. Am I wrong? Because it seems like everybody's back around. Emery.
And they still not together.
Biggs. Yeah. And it's like the only person missing is that comment.
I'm just going to say this, man. The ego's a motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Man's pride.
Ego destroys everything.
You know what I mean? And you built too much together.
Right.
Historically built. I'm talking about like Sean John came first, but Rockaway tore the motherfucking door. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, and even when they tried with Armadale, like they had a lot of things that were the new blueprint.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So to see them not be able to work that out, it drives me nuts.
It
drives me nuts
too.
I just feel like that they built too much and had too much history.
As well, they did the film thing. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe, you know, just me not seeing that be around. And
was it the last of a dying breed? There will never be another. There will never be other organizations like that. Even like when you look at QC doing their thing, but Rockefeller, you know what I mean? That Bad Boy Rough Riders, that was a whole generational thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like where it spawned all the QCs.
Let's big up TDE. I think TDE.
Yeah.
I think TDE. Everyone else's mistakes.
I feel like they learn. They learn from everybody else's mistakes.
I just think they're the wave. They're the moment, and the TDE, QC. You know what I mean? They're really doing it.
But it feels like Top Dog really did learn from other people's mistakes, and he stays low key with the way he operates his business.
I love how he stays the fuck out the way and just hit with SZA, hit with Kendrick. You know what I mean? Schoolboy had a couple hit records, and he stays.
Shout out to J-Rock, man.
J-Rock,
first artist that really paved the way for them.
Yeah, I actually just saw D-Nice post his footage of, I think it was J-Rock and Kendrick, like early. Like,
what's your favorite part of the game?
My favorite part of the game, man, is the discovery, man. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta imagine how we got around before social media.
Okay, what do you mean by discovery?
Discovery is always something new. Like, people, like, when Flex was going on Amigos and Yachty and whoever else he was going on.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, bro, like, are you listening to the melodies like I'm listening to the melody? Because it was reminiscent of Bone to me. Right. Like, if you listen to cadence and melody and everything they had to offer, I'm like, yo, these kids is... They in it. They in the pocket. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, can I understand everything they saying? Do I identify with it? No. I'm not part of the drug culture like you see.
And it might not be a part of us.
Like that.
It might not be for us.
Right, but you got to respect
it. The music, the beats, the melodies, it's still melodic. Like, 100%. It's still listenable
music.
They're
the best sing-songy generation in hip-hop on a lot of levels.
Right.
You just might not be with the topics of discussion, but you got to give them melody-wise. These motherfuckers, I mean, because it's Drake.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know what I mean? I had this conversation on my show the other day. I'm like, who's better, Drake
don't go there.
Or Kanye as a rapper? And I said Kanye hands down as a rapper, but if you're talking about a song, it's Drake.
No, but if you're talking about a run, I think Drake's run, I think he, for the last 10 years, every second single he had was on the Billboard.
I mean, every damn one of them. Like,
yeah, but nobody goes out on a limb like Kanye.
Kanye is the most,
as an artist,
he's the most important.
He goes out on a limb.
Okay, but I
and he'll risk
mean,
it all.
No, but no, I know what he means.
He'll risk it all to be creative. To be creative,
he risks it all.
And to push the envelope, he'll risk it all.
He risks it all. And they had this Avengers thing. I know everybody saw that shit. Everybody saw the Avengers. And I'm looking at the Avengers shit.
They had Saha the Prince there.
But
they
had
to relax.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, how you gonna have an Avengers? You had Kanye.
Right.
You had Jay on the side in the corner.
And Nas is there.
And then I'm like, bro, where's Puff? He don't rap. I'm like, he don't have to rap. Right. He's hip-hop. But my point is like, that's what needs to happen. There's no order in the game. And I feel to your point about the TDEs and the QCs, the ones that are doing it right, and then even the ones that came before them, there was order in the game. Mm-hmm. There was a certain level of respect and a certain level of appreciation. You ain't got to like what a motherfucker do. I ain't got to like stir fry, but that shit in the club.
I love stir fry.
I'm not saying. But you get what I'm saying? And so that's why I try to, you know, tell my
friends. It's respecting each other's lane.
Exactly.
Right.
Because hip hop used to be respectful. You would battle the shit out. And that's your point about me and Puff.
Right.
We done had known blow ups.
No, I love, you know what?
You know what I'm saying? But we still be there for each other when it's time for the culture.
I watched you in the Breakfast Club, so I went back and pulled up the thing. But I also heard what you said on the Breakfast Club. You was like, yo, you know, it was kind of, not kind of your fault, but it was like, you know, you had a Grey Goose ads in front of Justin.
Yeah, I was talking.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And I remembered that, but I didn't know that it was you at the time. And
it was me,
like,
holding the bottle. I was like, wow.
Oh, shit. And I'm like, but this is somewhat your mentor.
And you know what, man? That's what we were raised to do.
Hold on. You got to describe for these young kids.
Yeah.
That how is that? Like, you know, you worked with this guy, and then you're out on your own, and you're actually with a competing brand.
Yeah.
And he comes to your town. Let's remember.
Yeah.
You actually went and set up in Atlanta whenever things wasn't going right, or maybe they were going right for you, but you went to Atlanta, you set it up, and he comes to your market. Compound is the name of the club.
It's a club.
I remember
Compound,
this.
Yeah.
And you in there with the Grey Goose bottle, and I can't hear what the fuck you're saying.
Yeah.
But I know it ain't cool, whatever you're saying, and I know whatever he's saying back. But,
So growing up, like I said, I met him at 16.
Mm-hmm.
And being in the streets, you know, you wanna figure something else out. Like, if you really want something in life, you know what I mean? I looked at him as that muse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And there were several things, like, leading up to that. Like, I brought the Big Mac thing to Atlanta, you know what I'm saying, to the warehouse when I was in college. And, you know, they got
now,
in
when
fight.
You're saying Big Mac people, he's talking about the Biggie Smalls and Craig Mack.
Yeah, promotional
thing.
One of the biggest promos
ever. Of Craig Mack, and we'll get to a little bit to that later.
That was genius.
Yeah, so he come to Atlanta, and, you know, all of a sudden I see Gucci, Mark Pitts getting drugged down the steps. And it's a big ass thing about to happen, and Wolf and everybody, they about to jump. I run over. I'm like,
wait,
security.
Mark Pitts was getting drugged down the steps.
Yeah, Mark Pitts was getting. He got in a fight with the security.
Wow.
So I'm running. Like, Ron G was on the fucking turntable. I'm on
Ron
the mic.
Ron G, the legendary.
Yeah. So I'm motherfucking running.
For people that don't know, Mark Pitts is Biggie's manager at the time.
Biggie's
right?
manager. Yeah, one of the biggest.
And he's also manages right now. Big Miguel.
Yeah.
Who's got me that Miguel?
Chris,
so thank you
Chris
very
Brown's
much.
Projects as
yes.
well.
Yes.
So, but my point is, I'm running. I'm like, yo, chill, pay the dude, you go through the back door, these motherfucking New York niggas about to stomp you out, like, chill. So Puff comes over, he's like, yo, what the fuck, you know how Puff used to be, wow. And so all of a sudden, he says, tear the club up. Wow. Now, mind you, it's Freaknik, my nigga.
Wow.
You understand me? It's Freaknik, my nigga. Like, this my money, I'm fucking 19 years old, you my idol, I got Big Mac in this motherfucker, like, how, why? Wow. So all of a sudden, I go outside, and I just had a Ford Explorer, Mickey Thompson's new grill, the whole grill smashed out, the barricade down, and the rest is history. You can Google that. But from that time, like, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna see, you know, I wanna see dude. Like, I go to New York New Music Seminar the last year and I'm looking for, like, I want my money. I'm like, you come to look for me. I mean, we went through things, you know what I'm saying? But the point was, I was hurt because you're my idol.
Right,
you're my. I look
so
up
it
to
was
you.
Was like a David Goliath type of
it
thing.
It was always a big brother thing,
right.
You know. Because even when the whole thing happened with the car and I went to New York and all that, the whole thing ended up. Man, we black men out here, God by you know, Puff got a real magical ability to Jedi mind trick you out of what you originally were talking about. So we get into the good space, you know. And over the years, like, I signed a girl group Dream to Puff. That was my group. You know what I'm saying? So we was always in and out of business. You know what I'm saying? But by the time it comes to the Grey Goose, you know, Ciroc Wars, right?
Right.
It was like, all right, I got to show my power, because that's what hip-hop was. Right. If you the best, Right. You know what I'm saying? You're going to show that you the best.
It's like a battle. Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And he 100% knew that that was your campaign. He knew that was.
They were showing videos. I was making out there Live Voyage video. Please, youngins, go watch the Live Voyage video where Grey Goose took us to Paris. I taped the whole thing. It was 11 minute, 12 minute little mini doc that he was playing up in Diageo. Like, well, how is he doing this? Why he don't, you know what I'm saying? So, and I knew this because people calling me, giving me information.
And Diageo is the company that's
the parent company of Puffer Ciroc.
And DeLeon, correct?
100% correct. So long story short, when he came to Atlanta, I just wanted him to feel it. I didn't want to. If he wanted to, he could have told Alex, yo, don't sell no Grey Goose. I'm hosting. But I mean, it could have been a lot of things. But what Puff did was the old Puff Daddy came out of nowhere. He throws ice.
Right.
He hits a dude in my booth and, you know, face with the ice. And this T.I. just comes home from jail. He's like, yo, let them do this Kenny Burns house, nigga. He's like, don't do that. You know, so he's on fire. And I'm like, Puff, chill. And now, mind you, I'm here. You're like my guy that got hit in the thing. T.I.'s right here. Puff's over there. So it's 100 people in between us. We're not this close. So I'm trying to get over to talk to Puff. You know what I mean? I never forget Rube because I knew Rube, but I didn't know Rube. And so I'm coming up to Puff and I come up on the thing. I'm grabbing Puff. They're like, yo, who's this nigga grabbing Puff? So Rube's coming out the back. Like, they're like, no, that's Kenny Ray. It's like, all right. But my point was, I'm telling Puff and this. I'm like, do you know this boy make $35,000 a year? You just hit him in the face. And this is me. And then I'm talking about in the hecticness of hecticness. Now, mind you, like you said, the billboards doesn't happen. All this shit around the park. My booth is blocking his booth. Every time you bought a bottle of Ciroc, I bought 3 Grey Goose. But I'm in his ear, like, I'm thinking about the culture. Like, it's 6,000 motherfuckers in here. What you think gonna happen if one of your niggas jump over this motherfucking rail? And you know what I'm saying? So we got to the, but we always go to the extreme to come back to what's most important.
What was your worst period?
The warehouse. The warehouse, the Big Mac thing.
The Grey Goose.
No, that wasn't the worst. The worst was in college. No one knows that story, and I'm gonna leave that for the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's cool. Because everything got amplified. We was young and we was all stupid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody you know, it was a whole bunch of stupid shit, and it got Will and everything came out good. But it's been a big brother, little brother thing our entire career.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He just shouted me out for the Uncle Nearest thing, congratulating me, you know what I'm saying? So you know what I mean, when he got issues and things, you know, I got my superpowers. I can help move the culture for him. So, I mean, you know, we're going to be there. And we have to be there for those types of individuals that are still left. You know what I'm saying? For all that they've contributed to hip-hop.
Right.
Even though they have shortcomings and do things that aren't, you know what I'm saying?
But who doesn't, right?
Who doesn't? Right. How many family members we got,
right.
You know what I'm saying, that we just be like, I can't stand my fucking aunt.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? My uncle ain't shit.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? My cousins.
But he did help me that one time.
Exactly. But y'all at Christmas dinner and y'all breaking bread.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So now the Uncle Nearest is a crazy story about a slave, from what I gathered, about a slave who, and I'm paraphrasing, who actually taught Jack Daniels.
Yes.
How to make whiskey.
Yes.
Oh, Jack Daniels went on in his life.
How is it? Y'all like it? It's good?
Yeah,
I'm
drinking it right
now. It's good.
On the
rocks. Right.
100 proof.
And
I feel like I might wallow out.
But the thing about it is, we got so many stories of, you know, black people doing things for, you know, white people in those days, and these white people not actually recognizing. This is a different type of story.
Yeah.
This Jack Daniels actually has a book.
He gave him props
50 times in the book. He mentioned him 50 times in the book. So I just thought it was dope. And even the town Lynchburg, I just
the name
thought
was a horrible the name.
It's horrible
name.
But
change your name, Lynchburg.
They were actually there was actually cases of police actually, you know, killing other people because they were defending black people.
Yeah. This story is so movie ready, you know what I'm saying? Because if you think about slavery times, it's fucking slavery times. No way around it. You know, black people were not free. They were not treated as
equals.
There's
no niceties in
that
story.
There's no niceties, as much as there could be, there was in this particular town. Like, a lot of people think Jack Daniels, you know what I'm talking about, was, you know, the slave owner. Right. But Jack Daniels was a chore boy. He was on the field doing chore shit, milking goats and shit.
Picking
and
up pigs.
Yeah, all types of shit.
Yeah.
And the preacher, Dan Call, that, you know, basically owned Uncle Nearest, Nathan Green, and also, you know what I'm saying, like, was the, you know, boss of the orphan, because he was an orphan. Jack Daniels was an orphan who came to work on his farm.
Right.
You know, he put them together and was like, yo, Nears, can you teach him the game? I'm a preacher. I can't really be in the liquor game. You know what I'm saying? Although he kept all the proceeds.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Even when he left it. Because that's how they did. They did. You know, but it was a respect, and it was a mutual respect. And a lot of people don't know this, too. Uncle Nears was much older. You know what I'm saying? They got a picture right now on the internet where they show a picture and everybody says it's Nathan Green, but it's not.
It's not. It's his son, George.
So, but it's a dynamic story, man. I mean, they really were. I mean, Nathan Green was the biggest landowner in that community at the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Part of the distillery Jack Daniels on now was owned by Nathan Green. Like,
he was one of the richest black people in that whole community.
100% facts. 100% facts.
He was even rich to other white people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, the whole thing with this Uncle Nears thing that really attracted me, you know, after blowing up all these companies and doing all this, I never had equity. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when Fawn Weaver and her husband Keith Weaver were like, yo, we have this opportunity. Actually, my friend was doing the raise. They were raising $10 million. And he called me. He's like, yo, I'm putting this money into this thing. I think you need to be involved in it. I said, well, if I can't be a partner, I don't even want to know what's good. You know what I'm saying? But then they were like, yeah, let's come to Tennessee, see what we're doing, and we can talk about the equity play. And when I went, man, you know, standing on those hollow grounds, hearing those stories, and stories that you don't hear from that era of equality and actually black people doing good. You know what I'm saying? And then they started the Nears Green Foundation, where 7 descendants are in college right now.
Right.
Full rise. I'm talking about through bachelor's, master's, and however far they want to go in school.
Right.
That's part of my marketing budget. I said, how much marketing do I get? Right. You know, whatever. And then.
And you a motherfucking partner. Let's make some noise, dude.
Yeah.
We got my boy Casanova in the building. Casanova, come in. We're gonna mix it up, man. It's 2-year anniversary of Drink Champs. We figured we mix it up.
You got the perfect chain for our 2-year anniversary.
Yeah. So, Cash, you know Kenny Burns? Well, you know Kenny?
I heard some good things about him.
Yes. Kenny Burns, get to the bag.
I ain't gonna lie. He got a lot of shimani.
In short term, he's the plug.
Let me get some for the hoes.
I've been married 19 years in October.
I thought I heard you say 20 years.
19 years this October coming.
Okay, I've been married.
Gotta say that because you said that because she's watching.
So, all right, now that I got two people here, right? What I normally like to do, hold on. What I normally like to do is projectively ask you guys just random industry questions, right? Being at Casanova, you're one of the first new artists that ever came on here. We always have.
Thank you.
Like that. That's okay. We real niggas.
I knock your teeth out! Real niggas.
Have a G code too, you know what I'm saying? So listen, I want to ask y'all, from an outsider looking in, when I look at the Jewel Santana case, like, what is the first thing that pops up to you guys' mind? This is generic, just industry talk. What is the first? Let me see that light.
Industry talk?
It's in
the first thing is knowing what he been through to get caught up in that bullshit.
Mean.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how
you talking about the airport situation?
Yeah, the airport situation. Okay. I just see that him, you know, him and the whole Dipset been through. I mean, they've been in shootouts. They've been in all types of things and made it up out of it, and they get jammed up on a technicality. Basically, you forgot what was in your motherfucking bag. It's a tragedy.
Right.
But it's also a testament to if you don't cut some of that shit out at some point, it catches up with you. 100%.
Cass, same question.
Me, I just feel like. I think it's bad karma. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I feel like when stuff like that happened to me, it just like paid for the old things you did. It's certain stuff that happened to me in my life when I'm like, fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get away with the body, but you don't get away with the gun.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Or you get caught for
it. It catches up with you.
You get caught for
the shit you don't think you will get caught
for. Like, what's his name? OJ. You get away with murder.
And then the trophy shit.
Stop. OJ, dude, my blackness never has made me admit. Let me just throw that out there. My blackness has never admitted that OJ has did it at all. I've never felt like
I think OJ almost admitted it already.
He wrote a book saying he did it.
I know OJ.
I swear to God.
That was the biggest get off in the history of getting off.
I swear to God, I don't think OJ
did that shit.
Listen, after hanging out with OJ, I don't think he'll hurt a kitten. I swear to God.
OJ is 95.
Listen, man, we still got that story. He said he was murdering you.
Stop, man. Stop.
He said he was murdering you.
That was a joke. Stop.
It's not a joke. It's facts.
Don't spread that rumor. He did that, B.
It's facts.
He did that, B.
He said, I'm murder unit.
God bless Johnny Cochran.
But don't we miss the days, I guess, with the facts that I brought up Jewel Santana, because I remember at one point, regardless if you was on a record label, regardless or not, a rapper would not stay in jail for more than 3 days. Like, you get locked up, I don't give a fuck what it is, a record label's coming to get you, and you got bail, you got a lawyer, you got everything. Nowadays, they don't give a fuck. You remember them days.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like, it's like mandatory minimums. DMX
got locked up 900 times.
It's like mandatory minimums. It's like mandatory. Remember when mandatory minimums was introduced? Like, yeah. I remember when I first got in trouble, they had just did the drug-free zone. But guess what's by every fucking school drug-free zone? A project. And what are they doing in the projects?
Yeah, they giving you time for that, though.
You feel what I'm saying?
No, my point serious. Is, those I think free zones to your serious.
Point...
Yeah.
To you your like point, 20 blocks away, you yeah. still get hit with that crime.
But to your point, though, they're creating things to keep you now. Mm. If you look at pre-Reagan, it was 41,000 inmates. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That was black or brown. After Reagan, 500,000.
Yeah, Reaganomics changed it all.
500,000. Like, you know what I'm saying? So they want that. Mm. They make money off that. Mm. Don't get me on my conspiracy theory shit.
So I mean, it's not even a conspiracy. It's facts. It's a business. Prison system is a business.
So now, Cass, recently, we seen the move that you're from... Yeah, like mainly Rock Nation now. It's mainly Rock Nation. And then we was out to dinner with you the other day where people from Def Jam is trying to make you fully Def Jam.
I knock your teeth out.
They were trying to sex shit.
They were trying to sex shit.
That sounds like some sex shit.
I totally forgot what they were doing, right? That's what I was witnessing. I didn't notice it.
Sex tripping.
So, but how does it feel to be in that system? You know what I'm saying?
It feels good, man, especially coming from where I came from. You know what I'm saying? This wasn't part of the plan, and I'm just enjoying life. Like, this is great. It's a blessing. Right. Especially, being from Brooklyn.
Right.
When you went to King of Brooklyn, it's just like, it's dope. That's like somebody, you know what I'm saying?
The Godfather.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? So it's dope. It's a blessing. I still sometimes gotta take a deep breath when I can just walk straight in the building. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then the other dudes that supposed to be somebody gotta wait downstairs for somebody to get them. I just be feeling good.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm up. Woo. I'm up right now. Yeah. I knocked your teeth out.
Yeah.
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 So
set tripping.
Mm-hmm.
I love that shit. This nigga's Onyx.
Thank you.
On steroids, nigga. This nigga is Onyx. I want to tell you this, young blood. Like, I think it's like hip hop needs that aggressive fucking just energy that just overwhelms you and makes you act out of character. And I'm not talking. I'm talking about this is like he could be a rock star,
right? Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like
that shit, Ken.
I've been around a long time.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of different things come and go. But you like got an energy, B, and I think you're focused. I don't know you well enough to say you're focused from the leaving the bullshit alone. Mm. But like you really got a lane
because these
niggas.
Though.
But these niggas is out here fucking the money up.
And I can't fuck it up.
These niggas is fucking the money up.
What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go rob somebody.
I can't do it.
Nigga gonna blow me up now. I can't even sneak around no more. So
this I knock your teeth out.
You know what
I'm saying? Knock your teeth out.
I just got knocked niggas teeth out. I can't do nothing crazy. I know I'm gonna get a little bullet for that.
You got rock star quality.
Thank you.
And the rock star shit is what carries you over the hump. I'm telling you.
Thank you.
I'm telling you. Run DMC was rock stars. DMX was a
DMX.
I love DMX.
DMX.
DMX, yeah.
Know what I'm talking about? I'm just saying I got hype a little bit. Cheers.
Nah, it's cool to get hype on Drake.
Cheers.
Okay.
It's 2 year anniversary.
Two year.
So boom, 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 boom. We gotta put my ad libs in here. You know what I'm saying?
That's set tripping.
We set tripping.
So
promo.
Another thing that's happening recently is and we all got love for the brother, but it's something that's just been floating around in the society, and I just have to ask, you know, as a person, like, how does a person recover from something like something Fab is going through right now? Like, we all love him. It's no disrespect. We ain't getting in nobody's business.
Yeah,
we ain't
100%.
Judging, and we're not judging. That's not what we do over here. But you know,
if I think she lying. Point blank. Period.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. I think she lying.
So we ain't seen no video of him touching her.
I think she lying.
We saw a video where she was terrified though. So that holds some
you
kind
of... You could fake it terrified.
No, she was terrified. Camera. She was terrified.
Let me show you something. Let me show you from my point of view.
Yeah.
Just jail nigga time, looking at cases and certain things of that nature.
We
right?
all been there.
Cool. Somebody's recording the whole time she's talking from the house.
Right.
That's upstairs, right?
Which was probably her oldest daughter or whatever. Nanny, right?
Somebody's recording, right? So now... You've been with your wife 20 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she knows what to do to piss you off. Mm. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Boom.
Which she don't do.
All right. Good. Did you see
rules.
How she pulled out the phone
to get him while she was talking to the pops?
And his heart was crushed. You might not even I looked at it.
I get
he
that.
Said,
I get that.
You pulling out the phone?
Yeah.
You recording me?
Yeah, I get
like
that.
Like this, like right there, it must have clicked. Oh, this is a setup.
Yeah. Mm.
This is a setup.
Yeah.
So this is him leaving the facility.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't see no blood on no teeth. I don't see teeth don't. Out. I made it up. Teeth out?
Right.
You going to the teeth. Doctor. You going to the doctor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You hurt. You can't talk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just think it was a personal situation
right.
that went left. And you call the cops. People get locked up for
dumb shit
like that every time. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But I think there's some shit that's going on with these sucker ass niggas and these fucking thots that be targeting. Like, it's motherfuckers that be targeting your girl or your man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking to them whole ass motherfuckers because that be the sucker shit in this industry. You know what I'm saying? If you know somebody that's they motherfucking baby moms or that's they motherfucking live in, they spouse this, that, and the third, you violating.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, let me tell you something, not to cut you off. Nobody wants somebody nobody wants.
100% fact.
If it wasn't your girl, nobody wouldn't want her.
But at the same time, it's got to be fucking rules.
Damn, Cass.
Where the rules at?
It's got to be. I'm just saying. Respectability comes.
You've been out the game 20 years.
No, I'm saying.
You've been out the game 20 years.
Y'all youngs is different. Y'all youngs is different, but I'm saying it's respect. I'm telling you.
It's respecting.
Okay, some dirty dick niggas out here going after everything possible.
Who wants that? Who wants to give that respect?
This is when Drink Champs
turns up. Who wants to give that respect?
This is when Drink Champs
turns up. What he's saying is that.
You know what I'm saying?
Stop tripping.
That ass though, you look at it. Every girl, each and every one of us wanted beforehand with somebody else's girl.
I guarantee
before
you.
Before marriage, you looked at somebody's girl and was like, damn, if I had her, I'd be lit. And then when it fall in your lap, you really don't care. If this not your man, this is not your friend, who gives a fuck? Yeah, it's wrong when it's your friend. But in this industry, we learn.
Yeah.
Ain't no friends in the industry.
100% facts.
You know, as soon as you drop her off, a nigga ready to pick her right back up where she left off at.
Yeah.
And it's correct. It's bad because we have girls and we understand, like, if a motherfucker try, that shit is fucked up. And when you have a girl, you be like, nah, I won't do that. That's some girl. You know what I'm saying? That's fucked up because if somebody do that to my girl, I'm going to be tight.
Right.
But when you just mingling and shingling, you like, nigga.
But how does he bounce back in the Me Too movement where, like, bro, I just looked at his comments.
It's hard.
It was, like, bad. Like, yeah, you know,
it's hard.
Like
that shit, always that shit come with the territory.
Okay.
And me personally, you know, I've been through so much shit, man. I can fucking be on this shit for 30 hours explaining to y'all what I've been through. But me personally, I think that he gonna be alright. You know why? Because that's the shit you have to go through, man, to be who you are. Anybody that's great went through it.
Tragedy. You mean a tragedy?
Tragedy.
You
know,
trials and tribulations.
Yeah. But like he said, though, this is a different kind of era.
Yeah.
Right, no, you're right. Me Too shit is unbelievable.
Right.
Right, you know what I'm saying? It's almost sexist on their part in a lot of ways.
The pendulum swung the other way completely.
My point with Fab is, let's talk about it. He's 40 years old. He had one of the longest runs in hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? To be as relevant as he is. Can he bounce back?
Without any
scratches.
Yeah, tragedy.
No real tragedies, right? So this is his first real scar on his record. Do I think it's going to end him? Nah. Because nothing has come out to show, like Rihanna. Rihanna came out with a motherfucking Frankenstein face. Frankenstein face. And this nigga went on to sell fucking 25 million more records, right? And he don't have the respect. Chris didn't have the respect that Fab got. So I don't think it's over, but I do want to put in perspective.
He got more fans than Fab.
Plus, I think there is a difference, slight difference, R&B and being rap.
Yeah, but
I think
but
the rap, world looks
and
a little
different. I think the difference is, I think Fab, the woman trusted Fab more than they trusted Chris. I'm just keeping it 100.
It's fucked up that, you know, us men got to go bald. I mean, women too. But we go bald or you get inducted into the Greybeard Gang, or in my case, White Beard Gang. But 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. Thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Is that hairline slowly starting to move backwards? Any bald spots yet? I mean, come on, take a look. And I'm sure if you're in that age bracket, I mean, I knew dudes in high school that was going bald. How will you feel a year from now if it's business as usual up there, but it's not? It's not the business. Do you want a bald spot to pop up, or do you want to do something about it first? Do you want your hairline to recede, or do you want to do something about it first? Ask yourself this. Why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing at all when they can turn to medicine and science? Well, the homies at 4hims.com are a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. That's right. It's 4hims.com. Thanks to science, I believe in science, baldness can be optional now. Hims connects you with the real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Shit, not even drinking too much Tiger Bone. Prescription solutions backed by science. Real science. NASA shit. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's easy. It's too easy. Answer a few quick questions. Doctor will review and prescribe you. Products are shipped directly to your door. I mean, think about it. What more do you need? I mean, if you seriously got this issue, and I would say probably 8 to 9 out of 10 men have these issues, it's worth checking this out. It definitely is. These guys are serious, and it's working for people. Order now, and Drink Champs listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds, if not thousands, maybe even, if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So go to 4hims.com/drink. That's 4hims.com/drink. Again, that's forhims.com/drink. 4hims.com/drink. Take care of it, Drink Champs Army.
It just, well, at least they trusted him longer.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Let me ask you a question. That's my man.
That's my man, too.
Let's skip to something else, man.
But we talk about example. Is it because, like, the females trusted Fab longer? Is that the case? Or is just, this is just the movement, this is the era we live in right now?
I think it's the era. I think
you're guilty as long as you get
choose. But my point is, like he said, if you get your teeth knocked out, there has to be some dental work, there got to be some things happening.
It would have been leaked already.
And that's what I'm saying. TMZ would have had that shit out.
If the video from the house was leaked, best believe your face busted open would have been leaked.
I agree with that.
That's how I feel. Right. You know, I've been a dude, like, again, I'm just talking, not even from the street, nigga, jail shit. Yeah. I've been in the law library. When you pass these cases, you just want to read them. I've been in a box in solitary confinement for like 36 months. So right. I read all these cases, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just by myself in a cell. So even with that, where's the proof? Yeah, me right. too, cool. But where's the proof? Right. If you could just slander somebody's name like that, in their career?
That's the era we in.
Aziz, that's saying that Aziz, he brung a chick back, he ate her pussy, and she didn't like the way he ate her pussy.
Right. And then
she flipped on him for that. So she said,
that's crazy.
She said, like, I mean, I'm paraphrasing a motherfucker.
No, it's
but
serious.
It's boiled down to, she said, he brung her back to his crib. He ate a pussy. I guess he ain't know what he's doing, the Indian. You know what I mean? And, you know what I'm saying? That's why I said trip. You gotta be Latino, a little big guy, a little bit of Latino in you. And you know, but anyway, she didn't, and I'm just saying that part was like, wow. Like when I heard that, I was like, obviously I'm paraphrasing, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. This is the era that we live in. It's a little.
Put it this way, we wish him the best.
No, we wish everybody the best.
We wish her the best.
The family, everybody. Yeah, because
the family is really hard to come by.
Yes, yes.
And there's some things you can and can't forgive. I really pray that that family can continue in some way as a
human.
Nah, that's break up with no makeup.
Right.
That's break up with no makeup. Right. You know why? Because it hurts. It really do.
Right.
Because you share all your information with who? Your wife.
Right.
You tell every secret you hold with your wife, with your girl. Right. So it's like treason. You commit.
You get stabbed.
Treason.
Stabbed.
You know what I'm saying? When you do things like that, and again, it was premeditated murder. I always use that word because it was premeditated. It was like.
In the eyes?
Nah. Yeah. Record.
Right.
Record your husband. Your baby father mad shit. You get me on video, shit, I might be me too, cause I'll be on there like, you stupid fucking, you know what I'm saying, cursing, and she be like, motherfucker, fuck you, shit, and I'll be call her ass then and then blow her ass up, you know what I'm saying. But this is what we live in. We expressing ourselves, freedom of speech, right? So me even looking at that video, I'm like, girl, if your head was busted or your mouth with your teeth out, blood everywhere.
Your teeth
out, it's blood everywhere. And I feel like it's to the point where it's like, you know what? This nigga won't play with me. I got something for him. And that's how all these girls is doing. You know what I'm saying? It's like five niggas going through them situations, and it's fucked up. But we good, because we got girls. So we all right. But when you don't, It's kind of fucked up, because you got to go in the room now. You got to take girls' phones. You got to make them sign certain shit now. Because everybody trying to get money. They want the clout on the internet. You know, just like the shit with, what's his name? Usher.
Yeah, I'm about to say. Yeah. Come on. Usher?
Come on. Shout out to the big girls, but Usher.
Come on.
Usher don't need you to call him to the room. Come on, man.
To the Best Western.
And Usher came to your room.
To your room.
Nigga, get a talk show.
I'm not coming to your room. I'm not coming to your room. Me, I don't care if it's fourth quarter and I'm down three. I'm not taking the shot. I'm passing that to my man over there. He's gonna do the job for me. I'm coming to your room, and especially he's been doing this for years. He knows his cameras, his tricks. He can get set up. Right. You know, that's another thing. Dudes is getting set up in their hotels.
Oh man, Rob,
so this shit, Rob
killed. Got killed. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So especially Usher been doing this for years. You telling me Usher came to your room? My mom.
At the Best Western, though. That's the part
there. At the Best Western.
That's the part that killed it.
This nigga's $100 million
man. That's the hook right there. That's the hook right there. Like, the Best Western.
Best Western? Nah, come on,
Usher ain't going there. Y'all ain't going there.
Come on, son. That's how I feel. And I feel like anything they want to do, they can do. You know what I'm saying? And that's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's fucked
up. On a lot of levels.
That's fucked up.
I don't think there's anything that they can do. I think that they have some truth to some of their story. Like most of them.
No.
I think it started with Bill Cosby, and I think a lot of them were just like jumping on board. But or a lot of them were, because I don't know if Bill was really pill popping animal. Like I don't know.
But look, this is what I'm saying.
He sound like the rappers nowadays. The way they describe Bill, he sound like the rappers nowadays.
OJ
did not kill nobody.
OJ killed the lady.
My thing is this, right? This is how I feel. I'm not rich. Again. I'm with my girl all the time. Is pussy getting thrown at me left, right? I'm not rich.
You the new Wesley Snipes, man.
Bill Cosby is rich.
Right. You the new Wesley.
You telling me he got the pop a pill in your joint? Bill Cosby is rich.
Bill Cosby. This is
he been rich.
The Huxtables rich.
Yes.
Back then.
Been rich. Been a millionaire. He can buy any girl he want.
But maybe he just didn't want to work.
Nah. I ain't going out.
Yo, yo, I'm going to say this. There's a lot of sick motherfuckers out there, though, bitch. There's a lot of sick motherfuckers doing sick shit.
Humans are sick, period. Listen, we all have
I've been up. But you still got to work a little bit. You still got to be like, you know, shorty, I'm going Saks Fifth in the morning. This is a long time ago.
No, no, no.
It's a long time ago. Way before I met my wife.
Listen, before you met your wife, yeah. Cool.
But I mean, out the gate.
When you was lit, you ain't had to work like that.
I had to work like that?
No way.
I don't think I had to work like
that.
Exactly. I had to work, though.
But you got to work. This is our work. Let's say, okay. I'm not even on your level, and I hope to get on your level, but...
This is how it works nowadays.
If you don't gotta work, you just here. Come here. I get my friend's pussy. Look, come, all of you. You fuck everybody here. You fucking? Yes, we fucking. All
right.
Everybody's fucking. The manager's fucking. The assistant manager's fucking. What work you really have to do if you're a millionaire?
That's the reason why, because we see back in the days, word of mouth was almost powerful, more powerful than this.
Well, word of mouth was the problem.
Because just think about it. Just think about it. Just think about it. There's no footage of Pac. Yeah. There's no footage of DMX when they had their shit. It was just all word of mouth. So word of mouth back then kind of was damaging you a little bit more. Is because everybody just believed it because we couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So nowadays, it's kind of a little bit less because niggas say, if the footage don't exist, it ain't happening.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a little...
No, but the Me Too movement is moving without footage.
Yeah, that's a fact.
It's just rumor and it's already damaging. And even if you don't get legally like dealt with, the rumor's already out there. Your career's been damaged already. You know what I'm saying?
You know how much girls really be like, yo, after... Like, perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the poker table. I'm lit.
Mm-hmm. Set tripping.
I'm set tripping. I'm lit. A girl on me. Ooh, she feeling me. Look, baddie. Oh, she feeling me. She feeling me. I'm thinking out. I'm the man. I'm lit.
Yeah.
After the game, you know, I'm talking to her. We talking about the bar. It's all good. She like $250 for head, $500 for pussy.
Oh, they got me like that too. Oh, I got a Vegas story.
Yo, that's the worst shit about that. Yo,
Oh, you thought you was cute?
I'm showing the watch, you hear me?
Yeah.
Call. Nah, I don't call that. Yeah. Yeah, them niggas don't got no money. They fronting. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'm the man. By the time I got to the bar, talking to her, thinking she really liked me. I knew the kid's name. She hit me with the price. But let me show you. It's some girls that don't say the price.
Right.
So when you go upstairs, and you bang, bang, boogie, and she turn around and be like, this is $250, and you be like, bitch, you don't get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Then she mad.
Oh, you got money.
It turns into something else.
You raped me.
Wait.
I go to jail for a murder other than a rape.
This is the first time Drink Champs is talking about this.
Yeah, we're going uncharted territory right now.
It's all quit, but we're here.
Big shout out to all the females that are rightfully charging these niggas.
No, absolutely. That's the problem.
All the women who have been wrongfully touched, whatever, or we're not saying nothing about
this
you.
This is what I'm trying to tell you.
We're talking about the ones who are not
in jail. The rightfully accused, if you copped out for rape, any sexual charges, we on your ass.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Wrongfully accused in jail, niggas is still on your ass.
Mm.
You still done. If you go in jail and be like, yo, what's your charge, homie? Where your paperwork? And you'd be like,
so you thinking Pac had a bad time in jail?
Hell yeah.
No. You know why he didn't have a bad time?
He was isolated.
You isolated.
Yeah, he was isolated.
You gotta get it. Once your celebrity is personal.
And in the movies, they try to act like he wasn't in
population. No, but he was isolated.
No, he had population.
I thought they were saying some population.
It don't matter about population. It matters about the state. Because you see, this is how it goes. You know, it goes like this. It's the whispers. Yo. It takes like at least 72 hours. Yo, listen.
This nigga said 72 hours.
Niggas be like, yo, that's something right there, that rape shorty.
Right. That rape
niggas
shorty.
Niggas chill. It passes on.
Yeah.
Yo, that's something right there, yeah. You good. You get your package, you chilling, and then boom, and you just
niggas fuck me up. Yeah.
Oh, you're done. You're done. But like I said, when Tupac, he was so amazing back then that and R.I.P. Tupac.
He had to be in.
But he had a lot of problems.
You have to put him in isolation. Yeah. I go in isolation as soon as I get to the joint. Yeah. And he was.
But he had a lot of problems because of Jimmy and Haitian Jack in jail.
Well, it
was some New York niggas on him. I'm just saying. Well, he had.
And I'm mad about that.
He had some issues. Article. It wasn't at first. It wasn't.
I'm saying, but he had issues though. From the, I'm talking about the rape case on.
Yeah, no, I'm saying because remember he got convicted.
I'm talking about rape case on.
Yeah, rape case on. He got convicted.
But you're saying after the Vibe article, which is after.
It was after some the Vibe article.
No matter what, if you a lit person, you're influencer. Mm-hmm. Once you're an influential person. Mm-hmm. They putting you in a box, like Big Meech. Yeah. They let him rock for a couple months. Soon as he start buying niggas sneakers and all that, he ain't start no trouble. Right. Nah, you got to go. Because if you snap your fingers, the whole jail is in chaos, and that's that's what's going on. Tupac, they put him in isolation, guaranteed. You know why?
Because
you can really sue in jail. That's why some people tell, and some people tell in the street. Because you can sue if you're in a place that you're supposed to be protected, and you get cut or stabbed. There's no knife supposed to be in jail. So most of the people do. They get cut. They tell on everybody, and they get their little 20, 30, 40 thousand, and they come home and it's gonna be lit. You know what I'm saying?
Kenny Burns. Yeah. How was the Biggie Smalls Crack Mac era? How was that?
Yeah, let me know about it. I need to know my history from
it
you.
It was one of the most incredible eras because, and that's why, like I was telling Puff, because you know Puff was doing these records with French and he was doing them with Meek. And they were sounding like French and Meek. And I'm like, you know, this is the money making Mitch thing he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. He was playing me these records. And I'm like, you shouldn't do that. You gotta go on tour. People want Bad Boy. Mm. Bad Boy will never be another era like Big, Craig Mack, Little Kim, 112, Total. You know what I'm talking about?
Shout
people
out to
want
that.
That. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the whole band. And honestly, Puff tried his damnedest to get Craig on the tour. I'm talking about damn near to the middle of the tour. He was like, yo, come out here. Come to this market. Your record was number one. He was trying to, and I wish he could have felt that love because I feel like he died not
rest
feeling
in peace, Craig
the
Mack.
Love. Yeah, rest in peace, Craig Mack. So, but that era was so special because it was defining what business would be in hip hop. See, people didn't really realize the business acumen that was going down. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Puff really had a real label, had real money. Mm-hmm. They was making quota. Because, you know, that whole shit was smoke and mirrors unless you was making quota. Right. They was making quota. Mm. Craig Mack sold more records than Biggie did at first. Mm. Nobody really know that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Flavor in Your Ear was the biggest fucking record on Bad Boy. You know what I'm talking about? So until Juicy, you know what I'm saying? That's because, you know, Party and Bullshit, none of that shit was really connecting like that.
That
you
was
know what
radio
saying?
Crossover.
You feel me? So the era was special because what they did is they went fucking hood to hood. Mm-hmm. Back then they went to hood to hood. Puff and them would go get with all the gangsters in every city and it would be a fucking love fest.
I heard Biggie's first album, he used to give it out on St. James for free. And when people came up to Big and they said to Big, why don't you give him out your album for free? He said, yo, everybody in the whole neighborhood is playing my shit. The nigga who's not playing my shit seems like a herd.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, that was genius.
That nigga was one of the best conversationalist storytellers you'll ever meet. That's why he got so much pussy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
God damn, let's make some noise, Biggie.
Yeah, Biggie Smalls. Biggie was one of the best fucking, like,
let me hear a conversationalist.
I mean, I can't really go
you
into
got
that.
Story? You
but he
got
always
story?
Had Kim of Faith, so it'd be, you know what I mean, weird. But my point is, like, he, you know what I'm saying? He was a good dude, and he took care of a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't know the real story about how and what, you know what I'm saying? But everybody around, a whole Junior Mafia was on. Like, when he said they was on. It was always on tour. They always got a bag. They was, you know what I'm saying? So it was one of the most kindest, most gentlest motherfuckers you ever meet. And was gangsta at the same time.
Did you guys see the post that Scratch did about Craig Mack, where he was talking about Puff and giving so much props to Puff for signing Craig Mack? Because he said Craig Mack was a part of Hit Squad, which is EPMD's crew. Oh, Redman, EPMD, Daz Effect.
Yeah.
Wow. He was on the road with them. And he said he was mistreated.
At the Hit Squad.
In the Hit Squad, he was mistreated by them.
Wow. I don't think y'all remember how big Flavor and Year was.
Mm. He was huge. I mean, you got to think about it.
That was the biggest record of that era.
But not even more, you got to think about it. We know Bad Boy as a shiny suit label, but when you think about it, they'd signed Craig Mack and Biggie, two not so obvious, like you know, artists that you would put out as your first artist, and they're lyrical and all that, and this is what they the foundation of Bad Boy.
Another thing is incredible. Puff put that motherfucking sauce on that thing. You know what I'm talking about? The records and them samples. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody remember that. I mean, them samples was fucking unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? And that brought the rhythm to hip hop.
Right.
They brought the rhythm. And then they carried that shit.
Let me ask you something, because then I want to ask Casanova something. Who's harder to work for? Dame Dash, Jay-Z, or Puff Daddy?
Puff Daddy. 100%. Big shout out to Puff.
Damn.
I'm gonna tell you why. Puff has been historically.
And you said you work for what's the other nigga from Atlanta?
Let me put Dallas that. Dallas, all of them. The only nigga I ain't working with was Dr. Dre and Eminem. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so all them niggas.
All them niggas. And they all have similar traits.
Okay.
Because you have to be a selfish motherfucker on a lot of levels to build an empire.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Dallas. I never had. I had certain.
Hold on.
You do.
Hold on.
You do.
Hold on.
100%.
Don't let that go over your head.
Don't let that go over your head.
I got you. I'm soaking it in.
You have to be a selfish motherfucker to run an empire.
You got to build it. Because guess what? It's about you and your vision and what you got to make happen. And if you don't make your shit happen, it's like I say this shit all the time. All these young niggas out here.
Let's make some noise with that.
All these young niggas out here creating characters, you gotta live that motherfucker. Mm. And you gotta look in the mirror every day and fight your character. Because the people want the character. So that's why you see these niggas. You've heard of 27 Club, like Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, all these motherfuckers dying at 27. It's motherfucking shit they couldn't control and handle because it was things created that wasn't them. So imagine you gotta keep up with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, this nigga, if he wasn't a knock your teeth out nigga and a set tripping nigga for real, it'd be hard to hold that up. Because niggas can smell unauthentic shit.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. In this generation, they go Google your motherfucking ass, punching some keyboard shit, and they can find what they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I be trying to tell niggas, be you. Some niggas ain't really built for the leadership role. You know what I'm saying? To be a leader, you got to be ready to motherfucking like go through some other shit to get there. And God, you know, took Puff through all that shit. That's why you see all the love. He can finally sit back and be like, I fucking did everything I could do. That's he ain't doing no more in business. It's gonna be Christian and fucking Justin and Quincy, and that's what you see him doing now. He's supporting that. So that's what, you know what I'm saying, you hopefully end up getting. But most people don't even make it to that point. A lot of niggas died trying. Real talk. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't ready to die, no pun intended, some of that shit ain't for you. Yeah. I mean that.
Hold on. Say that last part again.
Yeah. If you ain't ready to die, shit might not be for you. And that's why even like 6ix9ine, the Tekashi kid, you know what I'm saying? That nigga is going about it the wrong way because he got rock star qualities too. If you making that much motherfucking noise and people are with the shit and you doing all the wrong shit, imagine if you did the right shit. Respect is saying what's up. Respect is giving respect to a nigga that's holding down their market. Niggas blood, sweat, tears, all type of shit in they fucking cities. You know what I'm talking about? To earn they, that's rightfully so and earned, and you should respect that. You know what I'm saying? But I just want to tell these youngins, don't be doing the make-believe. Don't be out here in these streets with that shit you can't really finish with, because it ain't a long life. Right. It ain't. You burn out or you die.
Right.
It's real.
You burn out or you die.
Nigga, drugs will take you the fuck out of here. All you niggas leaning and popping pills and all that shit that tears your organs up, that ain't weed. That ain't even cocaine, nigga. That's motherfucking, I'm breaking your immune system.
It's not
down
sustainable.
And nothing can
it's
help
not
you
sustainable.
Live.
Yeah, you can't sustain that.
Why you think niggas is having seizures every 2 weeks?
Right.
Why you think niggas is having falling the fuck out in performances and shit?
Right.
Niggas is fucking functioning crackheads.
Right. Yeah.
There ain't no longevity in that shit. This a real business. You can get a lot of money. If Puff and Jay and them niggas ain't show you how to get real money,
Right. Look at Ross. You can say what the fuck you want to say. They got 800 chicken wing spots, nigga. Yeah. 800.
They got 800 cuckaroos.
The nigga got fucking checkers, B, but he said, this is my lane.
He got cuckaroos.
But it's business. It's like a motherfucker telling you not to support Dutch Master. You smoke weed at Dutch Master. All of a sudden telling you,
I'm smoking weed at Dutch Master right now,
nigga. Right? You're telling you not to promote liquor.
You got me.
You know what I'm saying? It's business, man. So, you know.
Shout out to Dutch Masters. They held me down, too. Shout out to
we got you some more. Dutch Masters nigga here right now. Knock your teeth out.
This is my French champagne, right? Because this is the one that came from the fridge. Oh, okay. It's a little cold. Because when I realized when I used to go to France.
You set me up.
No, I never got
you. You said you made me post that shit at Mr. Chow.
That's right.
You ain't say it was your shit.
No, what do you mean, my
nigga? You motherfucker. You owe me some money. You owe me some money.
What do you mean? This is my shit.
I need 5%.
He got you.
No, not my shit, meaning I own it. No, this is what happened. I used to go to France so much.
You ain't promoting nothing that ain't. You ain't got nothing.
No, I ain't got nothing to do with
you. Nah, I don't believe it.
I wish I did.
You doing G-Money deals, nigga.
Keep speaking that shit.
I own you, nigga.
Keep speaking that shit.
You doing G-Money deals, nigga.
Tell him I own this shit.
After the show, nigga.
In France, this is the hell I noticed. Like, you know, we think Moet and all that shit that we go to their clubs and they'll drink that.
Yeah.
No. These motherfuckers is looking at us, shit. Laughing at us. Like, nah, we don't drink that.
100%.
And I'm like, yo, what the fuck? You don't drink Moet? This shit coming down the block. Them niggas like, nah, I'm pulling out Dom Perignon. Them niggas are laughing at me. But then this is the drink that they be drinking. It's a quiet taste. But
what is it? Champagne?
Yeah, the champagne.
What's the name of it, North?
From France, man. I can't pronounce that
France?
Shit.
France? Laurent Perrier.
I dropped out of seventh grade, my brother.
Oh, cool.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just ride with me,
Cuvée,
man.
Cuvée Rosé
that's
Champagne.
The colder one. I told you that the colder one.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. No.
Thank you, Lee. We appreciate you. We appreciate your contribution to drinking.
Let me taste a little bit.
Yeah, this is.
Give it up for Lee, my nigga Lee.
They selling this for $100 a bottle, Mr. Chubb. In the clubs, you get this.
You told me $2,700, man.
$2,700 clubs.
I'm about to say, you trying to trick me, man.
No.
I put my money in. I'm about to say, give me my shit back,
man.
What
you need?
Yeah, let me tell you something.
Shout out to motherfucking Nori because he really a real nigga, right? So, you know, I'm in the era of scammers, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you got your scammer friends and you inviting girls out and everybody out, you be like, yo, who got the pieces that's working, right? So you bring the scammer friends that can swipe the bill, right? So me and Nori chilling, he's like, yo, listen. This nigga got the piece. So me thinking scamming, I'm like, oh, you chilling around scamming? He said, nah, he got the legit piece. He got the corporate piece. I said, oh, let me get another shot. It's lit.
Yo, listen.
Shout out to him because he's the motherfucking hooli still.
Yo, listen.
You know what I'm saying?
Just so you know, there's legal swipers.
Legal meaning, corporate piece.
Like, years straight.
He said, I only call out the niggas with the piece.
Yeah.
If they ain't got the piece, I don't invite them to dinner.
Yeah.
We're supposed to put that out there. That boy, you supposed to keep it straight up. But yo, listen, for years straight,
I used to, like, when I go out for lunch, I wouldn't pay for lunch in Manhattan for a year straight, because I would just come out. Or all them niggas want to leave the office anyway. So you just call them niggas and be like, yo, what you doing? Niggas be like, I ain't doing shit. Man, let's go to Palm for lunch. And them niggas be like,
I got it.
Nigga, I want to come out the office.
I got it.
And they think you invited them before you know it. They're like, I got this, Nori. So you up. Yo, tomorrow, you know, big up to Beckos, because Fat Joe shitted on Sean Beckos, by the way. But I knew Beckos from Tommy Boy, and he was a swiper. Let's make some noise for Sean Beckos. let's big up to Sam Cresco. Sam Cresco was a swiper. Let's big up to Benny Swipes right now from the ball. We literally don't know his last name.
I want to say this.
Yes.
Yo, your record with Carl Thomas was my cruise anthem.
Ooh.
You know what I'm talking about? I love my life. You know what I'm talking about? I wore the Bo Jackson's, the orange. I'm talking about we used to play that every day to the strip.
Because
we had bigger dreams than the neighborhood, B. But your song was that motherfucking soundtrack. So 2 year anniversary.
Yo, thank you.
Super proud of you, Chad.
Yes,
so proud of y'all, man.
Yes, man. Thank y'all, man, because this is all we want to do is we want to preserve hip-hop. Yeah, Mr. Lee, can you help me out? I don't know what it is.
I got you, brother.
Yeah, because look, it's somewhere out there I messed up.
I got you.
So we want to preserve hip-hop.
It's too fancy for you.
Yeah, it's too fancy for me.
He broke the stem.
He broke the stem.
I ain't have it in me.
That shit ain't regular.
Big up to my man ETN from Paris as well.
Yeah.
So what is it?
Hold on, hold on, stop.
Uh-huh.
Who's ETN?
He a swiper. He a swiper.
No, he more than that.
Paris.
He more than that. He more than that.
Paris, as soon as you come to Paris, you gotta get down with him because he got all your shirts bootlegged. So it's like, he's glad. He's like, yo, you cast.
What's good? What's good?
But you already got him bootlegged. I'm gonna cut you in.
You got pocket teed out shirts.
I'm in.
Shirts.
And he from Africa too. He from that Africa.
Yeah, like they saw everything.
So yeah, he's a real nigga, yo. But yeah, so what's your favorite part of the game? What's your favorite part of the game?
You've been listening to the Drink Champs podcast. Drink Champs is a weekly podcast created by DJ EFN and NORE and is produced by DJ EFN and NORE. Sound engineered by Hazardous Sounds. You can also watch us on Revolt TV every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, as well as online 6 days following the TV premiere of an episode. Schedule may vary depending on special releases or off weeks. For everything Drink Champs, including Drink Champs merch, powered by 89 Clothing, log on to drinkchamps.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at drinkchamps. Follow DJ EFN at Who's Crazy on Instagram, at DJ EFN on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Nori at The Real Noriega on Instagram, at Noriega on Twitter and Facebook. Look out for new podcasts coming out under our podcast network. Also be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes and everywhere else our podcast is available. We also post audio on SoundCloud and YouTube, so search us, find us, subscribe, like, and comment there as well. Thank you to our Drink Champs Army for continued support, and if you are new to the Army, thanks for joining the family.